Blog Talk Radio.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm Sissy Ellison, your host. Christmas is the time when we reflect upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we celebrate His birth. There's been no greater gift to mankind than the gift of our Savior, who came into this world as a baby, but whose mighty power and precious grace brought light and redemption to the whole world. It seems fitting tonight to talk about Jesus and the true meaning of Christmas. Joining me tonight is one of my favorite returning guests, Patrick Whaley, Reverend Patrick Whaley. Patrick heads up Sasha Ministry in Russia and the Ukraine, and he spends his life sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, helping to plant churches in the Ukraine and Russia, and ministering to the needs of many people. Patrick has some wonderful Christmas stories to share with us tonight. It's my pleasure to welcome Pastor Patrick Whaley to Reflecting His Gifts. Alex?
Hi, Sissy. Hi, Pat. Hi. Is not quite with us, but we're waiting for him to call in.
Okay.
All right. So tell me what you're going to be talking about tonight.
Well, Patrick has had the privilege of carrying the gospel to the Ukraine and Russia, so we thought it would be wonderful tonight to share some stories of Christmases in Russia and Ukraine, how they celebrate Christmas, and then to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. It seems like it's kind of a forgotten thing in the world today, and so we just want to talk about the real meaning of Christmas, and then Patrick has some other things he's going to talk about.
Great, great. Well, I'm always struck with just how wonderful it was, what a miracle it was that Jesus would have come to earth of Mary, you know, as a baby in her womb. You know, I sometimes imagine him just floating in that amniotic fluid and making himself so vulnerable to the world. And
yeah.
Not what we would expect of a king, is it?
Absolutely not. And I think that's why so many have hesitated to believe that miracle, is that many of the Jewish people of that time were expecting someone of great power,
yeah,
and glory and trappings and the look of a king. And he was so humble. He came in humility to be like us. So he,
right,
could feel,
yes, he did.
People. Yes.
Okay. Well, it looks like your guest is here, Pat Whaley.
Patrick?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Patrick, we're talking about Christmas tonight, which is very fitting since it is almost Christmas, the birth of our Savior we are celebrating. And Patrick, why don't we begin our program tonight with one of your early Christmas memories? Most of us have a favorite Christmas memory, one that is indelibly etched in our hearts and souls forever. Would you share one of your favorite Christmas memories from your childhood?
Oh, thank you, Sissy. And as you say, Christmas is always a favorite time of the year for everyone. And for our family, I was born and raised in Oklahoma City, and our family were very much churchgoers. And so Christmas Eve, we would go to the Christmas Eve worship service at the church, and that was very meaningful. It was at 11 o'clock at night.
Yes.
And so with the singing of the carols and the lighting of the candles and then leaving the church just after midnight, it was already Christmas Day, and that was so meaningful. And so we would go home after just being in worship and once again read the scriptures. So our parents kept on telling us and reminding us the true meaning of Christmas was the birth of Jesus Christ and not some of the secular things that you hear. But then on Christmas morning, we would wake up and my mom would have a delicious meal. It was always the same breakfast casserole that we had, and that was the only time we had it. This Christmas Day was the only time she prepared this very specific meal. And so that's the first thing that we did, was to eat breakfast together and, again, remember the true meaning of Christmas. Then we opened the presents and things of that nature. Our stockings, my mom made, handmade each one, and they were beautiful. And so it was, I mean, every year was special. There's not one year more special than the other, but just those traditions that we did year after year, and the opening of the packages, but all through that, our memories were much more of a Christian, the birth of Jesus Christ memory versus truly some of the secular parts of Christmas.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. Well, Patrick, in entering into your personal and saving relationship with Jesus Christ, did it change? It sounds like you already were steeped in the sacred aspect of Christmas and the meaning of Christmas. But as you know and I know, we all have to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus and a saving relationship with Him. When you did, and I know you did, how did that change your perception of Christmas and what it truly means? How much more special did Christmas become to you then?
For each of us, as we grow and mature from a baby to children to teenagers, you know, we see what our parents do, we see what others do, and all those influences that we have around us. But then there comes that point in time for each one of us that what we have seen, what we have heard, what we've experienced from others becomes ours, becomes real. And so, you know, it's knowing what my family always did, what the church always did, but seeing the secular part with Santa Claus and everything else that's out there. But, yes, I certainly remember several times in my life, but a specific time in which I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior personally, and how meaningful that made each one of the Christian holidays after that, Christmas and Easter and all the different times of the year.
Absolutely.
We experienced Advent. Not all churches do that, but the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And so each week you light a candle, and the first candle is joy, and then it's hope, and then it's love, and the candle this past Sunday was peace, because that's what the coming of the Christ child meant, the joy, the hope, the love, and the peace of the world. And so it wasn't just one day, it was a season, a preparation, and then living that out. Our family also was very involved always in giving to others. I mean, our church had a Christmas meal. It was on Christmas Eve that we did this, not on Christmas Day, but we served a Christmas meal and did many things for the community. Our church was more of a downtown, midtown church. That was one of the largest churches in Oklahoma City, where I was born and raised. And so that was also a meaningful part the giving and the helping and serving of others.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick, do you think the world today has lost some of its grasp on the true meaning of Christmas? It seems that much of the time it's just a mad dash and a tiring debt-producing experience as people immerse themselves in the materialism that abounds during that time of year. Why do you think this has happened?
Oh, I mean, you're absolutely right. It used to be Black Friday, and now it's Thanksgiving Day, you start seeing Christmas trees and ornaments and Christmas candy and September and October almost. Mm-hmm. And so it truly has become a consumer's marketplace and the almighty dollar and the importance of that. It's the rush of purchasing, it's the expense, as you said, and the Visa cards that come later. Oh, it's all the different family members and deciding whose relatives are you going to go visit this year or next year, or how many different homes you're going to hit on Christmas Day and visiting the different relatives. You're right, there's so many stresses that are related to this Christmas season that so often we do forget the true meaning and value of what Christmas truly means.
Well, it's just kind of a sign of the times, you know, as the world and the nations push God out of, you know, schools and out of government and out of so many things. It's just as if the world is trying to fill up that void in their lives and hearts with more and more materialistic things and things that don't satisfy. And I think if the world focused more on the true meaning of Christmas, that might bring more contentment than anything else, don't you?
Absolutely right, because we have lost the meaning of what, the true meaning of what Christmas means, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God gave us absolutely the best gift that we could possibly imagine. And it's that sharing of that gift as we give to others that's so important. And so it's not the secular giving of the gifts and the secular Christmas parties in our offices and neighborhoods and different things, but it's remembering that true meaning. And we have lost that over and over and over again. And it's happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And yes, we live in a more secular world, but as Christians, we need to remember that it's our holiday, just like it's other religions' holiday during the same time frame, but we need to say Merry Christmas and know that we mean. And then, you know, we can still say Happy Hanukkah and the other very specific holidays during the same time period, but it's Christmas for us that are Christians.
Yes, it is. Well, Patrick, I think it's a good idea tonight to ask you to tell us the true Christmas story based on the scriptures. You may even read the scriptures as you share what Christmas really, really means to Christians.
Yes, I do have it here in front of me, and reading it again this evening, it's such a beautiful story. And the main Christmas story that I want to read tonight comes from the book of Luke, but I want to start here with Matthew, the first chapter and the 21st verse, because it so summarizes the true meaning of Christmas. "And she shall bring forth a son, and that shall call his name Jesus, for he shall come to save his people from their sins." That Jesus is God's greatest gift to each and every one of us, because he saves us from our sins. That it's the salvation of the Lord, that God is with us, Emmanuel, that is so very, very important during this Christmas season. As we know, there's Christmas stories in Matthew and in Luke, and then John also has a very, very special story that I'll read next, and then we'll finish up with Luke here. And in John, it's the first chapter, and he tells it, the story a little bit differently, but again gives us the very true meaning of what it means. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Oh, how precious that is. And if we can just for a few moments put the name Jesus there in place of the Word, because Jesus is the Word. "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not." Oh, isn't that the time period that we're living now, that the darkness that we have personally, the darkness that we have within our country, the darkness that we have within our world, that truly we are lost without a Savior, that so many things occupy the news and our minds, and the shootings and terrorist acts and immigration and all the things that we don't know where our home is or what to believe or what to do. But Jesus is the answer to each one of those, that he truly is the light that shines out of darkness. Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all people through him might believe. that John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And Sissy, you and I are not the light, but today we're the ones to bear witness to that light. All of us that are Christians, the light of the world has come through the birth of Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility and duty to share that light of love and grace and salvation that God has for all people.
Yes.
Verse 9, that Jesus was the true light which lights every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Both in the day in which Jesus was born, the world did not know him, and for so many in the world that we live in today, the world does not know him. And we can understand that in countries that believe in other faiths and other religions. Oh, but there's so many countries around the world that I've had the great opportunity and privilege of traveling to, Sissy, that don't know God. Oh, that don't know Jesus Christ, that have never been to church, might not even have a church in their city or village. Oh, we live in a world today that, you know, here in Memphis, Tennessee, or in cities here in the United States, that there's churches on many, many street corners. But there's so many countries that don't have those churches, don't have the Bibles, don't have those opportunities to learn about God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And we need to remember that it's our responsibility. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold the glory of all the begotten of God, full of grace and truth. And that's the good news, that the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the goodness of all of life has come through the birth of Jesus Christ. And so the story that we all know so well, that comes from the Gospel of Luke. Let me start here in the second verse, or in the second chapter.
Okay.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his estranged wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, towards all people. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And now listen to this part, verse 18. And all that they had heard, it wondered at those things which were told them to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. And people listened. Oh, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's so many important elements of that story, Sissy. Oh, be not afraid. 365 times in the Bible, it says, be not afraid, one for every day of the year. Wow. Can't you imagine? And I've been to Shepherd's Field there just outside of Bethlehem, and to be with your sheep that night, it was just an ordinary night. And for the sky to be filled with light and the singing of angels of glory, I have good news of great joy. Oh, can't you imagine that feeling that night? The shepherds were the least, the lost, the last of all people. It was not a glamorous job if you couldn't do anything else, if you were too old or too weak or had a disability or the youngest child. That was your job, to be a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Oh, the angels didn't sing to the kings and to the proper people of that day. It was to the least, the last, to the lost. And truly, each one of us are least, last, and lost in our spiritual lives when it comes to the understanding and true mm-hmm. meaning of what Christ means to each one of us.
Yes.
And the shepherds didn't stay in the fields. Oh, they went to see. Be not afraid. Come and see. And the shepherds went and saw the baby Jesus. Oh, shepherds don't usually do that. Shepherds stay in the field with their sheep. But the shepherds left their sheep that night to go see what that good news was that the angels of the Lord shared with them. Be not afraid. Come and see. They went and saw the birth of the Christ child, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus lying in that manger. Nobody listened to shepherds. Again, they were the least, the last, the lost. They didn't talk to anybody. They barely talked to one another. But oh, when they left seeing the baby Jesus, their hearts were full of joy. And they went out praising and glorifying God, telling everybody what they had seen and saw. And people listened. Oh, that's the good news. Be not afraid. Come and see, go and tell. Oh, Sissy, for you, for me, for all of our listeners, oh, that's my hope and dream as they read the scriptures and understand the true meaning of Christmas this year, that all the fears, the struggles, the difficulties that we have personally, that we have financially, that we have within our world today, that there's good news out there. That yes. the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus is our salvation.
Yes.
That we need to go and see the Christ child within our hearts, and that we need to go and tell others. Yes. What a beautiful, beautiful story.
Patrick, you just have a gift. I have tears. I have tears coming down my face right now, and my heart is so full. What a beautiful, beautiful way you expressed the story of Christmas. God bless you for that.
Well, and so if we look at going back to your question that you just asked, I mean, when we look at the secular world and the rush and the buying the presents and all the different activities and saying happy holiday instead of Merry Christmas and the stresses and the finances and the loss, I mean, you read the Christmas story. And you understand the true meaning of what God did, that he loved the world so much.
Absolutely.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And then our hearts fill with that joy and that gladness. And
yes.
so, it's the two sides. And as Christians, we've got to work hard and tell them the Christmas story, the true meaning of Christmas, and not to give in to the secular part of that.
Absolutely. And something you said when you were telling the story, you said to insert Jesus' name where it says the Word. He was the Word. And when you said that, it was just like something just came alive in my heart, because I'd never just said it exactly like that, but he is the Word. He was the Word. And the Word has power because he is that Word. And to the secular world, that's hard to understand, I guess. But when you belong to him and you think of it that way, it just lights up your heart, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely so. And in verse 14, John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah.
That Word was Jesus Christ that was with God through all eternity and became flesh at that moment in time, that God tried every way to have a relationship with people here on earth. And every time it was people that sinned, it was God's amazing love and grace in human sin. But God never gives up on any of us, and he didn't give up, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, to dwell among us, to show us how to live life, to teach us how to live life, to show us how to love, and then the ultimate gift to dying upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and that eternal salvation. Oh,
absolutely.
What a precious gift.
And Jesus said himself, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I was thinking about that yesterday. What a wonderful way to show us who God is. And when you look at the humility, the tenderness, the sweetness, the love of Jesus, we get a clear picture of how God feels about us. And that's why we have to look to him to be able to understand who God is and how God feels about us.
We can't do it by ourselves. None of us can live life by ourselves. We all have problems and struggles and difficulties and finances and family illnesses and all these things out there. We can't do it by ourselves. It's only by having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's only by having a relationship with others who believe in Jesus Christ that we can share with one another, that we can pray together in the name of Jesus, that we can support and encourage each other in the name of Jesus. But everything is in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing so eloquently and beautifully the Christmas story. And that just touched my heart very deeply, Patrick. And now we're going to talk about the experiences that you've had as a missionary, as a pastor in the Ukraine and Russia during Christmas. I would love to hear, and I'm sure our guests would love to hear, some Christmas stories from Russia and Ukraine. Can you tell us how others in that part of the world celebrate Christmas and share some of those memories with us?
I'd be delighted to do that. You know, in Russia and the countries of the former Soviet Union, before the 1917 Lenin Revolution, many people went to church. The Russian Orthodox Church was alive, and the Golden Domes were every place, very similar to here in America. And one of the big differences was in America, within our city halls were in the very center of the city, and then churches were kind of on the corners around City Hall. Well, if you go to Russia, all the churches in the very center, and then businesses and government buildings are around the church. But the church was in the very, very center of society there. When you and I, or when people think of the word Kremlin, what do you usually think of, Sissy, when I say the word Kremlin?
Kremlin?
Uh-huh.
Government, almost.
That's right. The Soviet Union government or the Russian government, or when we read the word Kremlin in the news, I mean, it's President Putin and the government that we think of. Oh, but that's not the true meaning. The Kremlin was the church and the walls surrounding the church. It was the church that was in the center of every village and every community in Russia. The church was built first, and then the city was built around that with the government buildings there. If you go to Moscow, and if you go to the Kremlin, there's five Russian Orthodox churches inside those original walls of what is now the city of Moscow. Now, the government buildings are also inside those walls, but the very center of the Kremlin is the church. It's always been that way. But comes the 1917 Lenin's Revolution, 2,500 churches were totally destroyed. Others were used for many other things. They were all closed, but then they were used for other things besides the church. So so the people forgot the meaning and value, except for the grandmothers. And, oh, God bless the grandmothers, because they remember. God bless my grandmother. God bless probably most of the grandmothers of people listening here tonight, because they're the ones that keep the faith alive. They're the ones that continue to tell the stories and make Christmas so special for us here in America and for people around the world. It was the grandmothers that, even after the Soviet Union and declared atheism, they kept the faith alive during those days, because they would continue to have parties and events during those Soviet days. And the Soviet leaders thought they were social events, but once they got together, they told the Christmas story. And so telling of that story remained important during that time period. It was in the mid-1930s that the grandmothers went to Stalin and continued to ask Stalin to give them Christmas. But Stalin was also an atheist. Stalin continued to destroy Orthodox churches and to send pastors and priests to Siberia. Oh, he didn't want church whatsoever. Grandmothers kept on asking. Stalin kept on saying no. But it was the British embassy that invited Stalin and his family to come to a secular Christmas party. Stalin and his wife didn't go, but his two children begged and begged to go to that Christmas party. And so they did. Oh, it was cold. It's always cold in Russia, oftentimes 40 below zero. Oh, so cold, so dark. I understand why people drink vodka and other activities. But those two kids came home so excited. And they told their father all the different activities that they had at the Christmas party. A week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, they were still talking about that Christmas party. Grandmothers were asking Stalin for Christmas. Stalin's two kids went to a Christmas party. Stalin says, well, maybe that's not a bad idea. But Stalin wasn't Christian. He didn't believe in Jesus. So what he did was to give them New Year's. Because you see, the Russian calendar is 2 weeks different. They're on the Julian calendar, or we're more on the Roman calendar. And so the Russian New Year's is on January the 14th. The Russian Christmas is on January the 7th. The rest of the world celebrated New Year's on January the 1st. So Stalin gave the people of the Soviet Union the New Year's on January the 1st. So to this day, they have a New Year's tree. They give New Year's presents. They sing New Year's song, one of which is a three-horse open sleigh. They have Grandfather Frost, not Santa Claus. Grandfather Frost wears a blue costume, very similar to Santa Claus. On the thing, his beard is long and straight instead of kind of round and jolly, and he's much, much skinnier than our Santa Claus. And then there's a snow maiden, which is usually a high school or university-age young lady that's dressed also in blue and the white ruffles or the white fur, and she's the one that gives out the toys. And so in their three-horse open sleigh, Grandfather Frost drives up, and truly there's lots of snow, so it's truly that way, and the snow maiden hands out candies and gifts, and so New Year's Day, January the 1st, is the big, big holiday. And that's where most all the traditions come from.
Well, we've got only about 7 minutes for the program left tonight, so we're gonna cut down, kind of trim away some things. But I wanted to hear, you had a wonderful story about the inspiration for the well-loved Christmas carol, Silent Night. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, I'll do it very quickly here.
Okay.
All the songs that we love so much, the Christmas carols, have very important stories. And this one stands out for me because it's you and me. It's all of us. You see, there was a choir that was supposed to sing in the year 1818. in a church close to Salzburg, Austria. But the organ didn't work. They couldn't get the organ repaired in time. And so there was a choir all ready to sing that night, but there was no organ to play. And so everybody was upset and didn't know what they were going to do. Well, the pastor had written a poem 2 years earlier. And the poem that he had written was Silent Night. But nobody had ever put it to music before. So on the December the 24th of 1818, he went up to the organist and says, we don't, you know, the organist was upset on what are we going to do tonight. And he says, I've got these words. Can you put them to music that guitars could play? The organist worked hard, and he came up with some music. The choir came that night, and with guitar music, the program was saved as they sung the song Silent Night. Oh,
what a beautiful story.
Isn't that true for us that things don't go exactly right for us, and we get so worried, and once again we get afraid? But oftentimes we see it as an opportunity instead of a problem. If we can look at it as an opportunity instead of a problem, we might not have ever had the song Silent Night if it wasn't for the organ going out right before the December the 24th.
Yes.
But because that happened, they quickly put together a beautiful, beautiful anthem in which this church was down in the valley and their home was up on a hill as they looked down. It was a time of war and struggles and difficulties there in Austria at that time. And so the words of that song were the words that people needed to hear. And the music played by the guitars that night, all people heard. And the song went to Salzburg, and the song went to many different communities. The song came to New York and became famous, and now it's translated into more than 300 different languages.
Wow. I never heard that story before tonight. Yeah. How very, very special and precious. Well,
so there's a
Patrick,
website one can go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, there's a website that one can go on December the 24th and can hear the music being played in this first original chapel just outside of in Austria, of the
what
very
that
place
website?
That it was. I need to go right back to it. It is www.stillenacht.info, and it gives pictures and different things of that chapel, and will play the Christmas music. Oh, it's a wonderful website to read, and the website's in English.
That's beautiful. Well, Christmas is a time, Patrick, when many feel compelled to give to others. And how can someone give to Sasha Ministry, which is a ministry so worthy of support? Can you share with us how to get in touch with you and how to help you at Sasha Ministry?
Absolutely. I leave on December the 26th so I can have Christmas here with my family and friends and church. And then go, because once again, January the 1st is the big holiday there. There's also Christmas now on January the 7th. But Sasha Ministry, Shepherding a Servant's Heart, Amen. And we go and disciple and train indigenous people to become the church in cities and towns and villages all over the countries of the former Soviet Union. It's such a tremendous joy and delight in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we have a website, or Facebook is probably the easiest way to get in touch with us, and that's Sasha, S-A-S-H-A, Ministry on Facebook, or my name is Patrick Whaley on Facebook. And it's Germantown United Methodist Church, 2331 South Germantown Road, Germantown, Tennessee, 38138. And all the money given to that will go for the programming as we help to start new groups, plant new churches, and share in faithful ministries. Young people in one of the churches, the church that I'll be at on December the 27th, started baking cookies today.
LifeQuest
those cookies
Christian
will go to
Network.
Gypsy villages and to that community.
I think that's the end of our program. We've come to the close of a very special program, and be sure and join me again next week when I'll be talking with another inspiring guest who reflects God's gift. Till then, may God keep you in his tender care. Merry Christmas and God bless you. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Sissy. Merry Christmas to you and to everybody. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you.